We can speak about that. What is my usual day at Chelsea? As soon as I get to the facility, I need a skin marker on this guy because I don't want them to forget about.
And I couldn't find anything at all. Not Tottenham, not Man United, not even the lower leagues.
What just happened here? What's going on? And so that's a football player.
Machine with AI software or stuff like that, or still, as long as the patient got an MRI, regardless of magnetic field strength?
A clinic, private clinic, where the Chelsea players will go for scanning.
So what is their emotional state when they actually get to you?
But all the cases, all the places that I scan, one of the major complaints was that, oh my God, the MRI was too long.
We did a couple of signings last season abroad, and they took me.
He recovered, he feels okay. Do you do a prevention MRI just to be sure?
MRI will show loads of things. And if you go through an older player, you're going to see this, this and that, and incidental findings, isn't it? The average we calculated was 20K. That's their daily wages. So if you do PRP injections into the injury site, all that process is just much, much faster. The recovery of the player is incredible.
What led you directly to be the supervisor of an elite football team like Chelsea?
Thanks for the invitation, and very happy to be here today. There will be probably a few things I cannot comment on, but I'll be happy to go through a few others. And so how I got this job? Probably you have to go back in time a bit. We have time, don't we?
Yeah.
So let's go. And maybe I will go to my 18 years old age. And I remember I was on my year 12. At the secondary school. Yeah. And my mother just called me and said, Fernando, I'm so sorry. You cannot go to university. I cannot afford it. I cannot afford the accommodation. I cannot afford the travel, the food, the material, whatever, because I'm a single mother. I have four kids and it's impossible. Sorry, you have to go find a job, a nice job, and see how it goes. And and then she said, you know, at the 21 years old, you had to go to the mandatory military service. And so if you find a job now and then you have to interrupt for the 1 year and a half in the military, it's a bit of a thing. So why don't you go now to the military with the 18 years old and then you find the job? Oh, sounds a good plan. Let's go. And I applied. I was accepted. I went to this service. It went very well. I was promoted to an officer. I was officer of the Portuguese army. And at some point, they offered me some contracts, a 5 years contract. Perfect. I was a lieutenant, you know, very well paid for that that time. And at some point, I felt, this will finish and I will not have a degree or a profession, something I can do after this. So I have to find something. And then I remembered that on year 10, I couldn't decide myself. Should I go to science area or to the literature?
It's a common question at that age.
Humanistic.
It's a question we all have.
Yeah, I was okay in both areas. I can consider myself an above average student. And so this lady came with some tests, some butterflies, some some questions, some quick answer questions. And after 1 hour, she said, Fernando, I know specifically what you are talented for. Oh, great.
You will be a Premier League radiography supervisor.
I wish. But she told me you are great for paramedics. I didn't know what was paramedics. Mm. So I said, medic, doctor, I don't want to be a doctor. No, I'm not saying doctor. Oh, I see. Nurse? No, I didn't say nurse. Paramedics. It's all the other health professions around the doctors and the nurses. And one of them was radiology.
There you go.
And so going forward to that specific moment, I was trying to decide my future life. I remember that test. So I went to not Google, because there was not there available was no, yeah, internet. Yeah, yeah. Where we go?
Encyclopedias?
Yellow Pages. Library. Yellow
wow,
Pages. So
go.
We go Yellow Pages trying to find a school of paramedics. And I found one in Lisbon. A nice 3 years, perfect. Let's go, applied. And I became a radiographer. Okay, so fast forward. I found a job in a big public hospital near Lisbon. I worked there for 18 years,
wow,
with no progression of my career.
Typical in Portugal.
And no...
We cannot say that. No,
little progression in my salary, terrible for 18 years there. But I took advantage of everything in terms of X-ray, angiography, CT, and MRI. I got a lot of experience. I wasn't afraid of going to different stuff, challenges. The only thing I didn't do was mammography. All the rest you could think of, I was involved. And by the economic crisis in 2008, and then later 2011, my situation was unbearable there. So I applied for a job in the UK, and on my third interview, I got a nice private hospital near Croydon, CT radiographer job. And that doesn't stop here. My wife came to the UK. She's a radiographer as well. She couldn't find a job because she was a mammographer, but she needed the certificate of mammography. Yeah. And then I told her, just find a job anywhere in the country, Scotland, Liverpool, Manchester. So you could talk about Manchester United today instead of Chelsea. Anyway, I just told her, just find a job and then I'll move near you because it's easier with MRI and CT skills to move. And she found a job in Guildford. Guildford is just 10 miles away from Cobham. Chelsea training ground. And she moved there, she started a job, and then I looked for a job near Guildford. And I remember so well, I went to this day two interviews, one at 12 p.m., another at 1 a.m., one in Guildford, another in Weybridge, a clinic, private clinic, where the Chelsea players would go for scanning. I wasn't aware of that. I went for the interview, they told me that. We had a nice interview at midday, and I left, rushed to Guildford to the other interview. And the other interview, the first question in Guildford, the manager, Fernando, what made you apply to this part-time job? And I was saying, what? The advertisement doesn't say part-time job. Oh, but it doesn't say full-time. Okay, but it doesn't say part-time job. I'm not going to move for a part-time job. Thank you. I'm not going to waste your time. You're not going to waste my time. I'm going home. And when I was going to the parking area of the Guildford Hospital, I get the phone call from the Weybridge Clinic. Fernando, if you want the job is yours.
And this when was can an you MRI start? Job.
MRI, CT,
or rotational an X-ray. Post. Okay.
Yeah. All over. I was happy with that. And I started that job 2 months later. So players of Chelsea would go there for scanning, for their MRI, CT, X-rays, ultrasound, whatever. And on first-team players, the medical director would always come with the first-team players, like chaperoning and give them some feedback from the scan straight away. And he will sit down beside me and look into the image straight away and saying, oh, that's it, I don't need anything. Sometimes some MRIs would take just 2 seconds. I can
even,
assure
even
you.
For elite football players.
Exactly, 2 seconds. He would say, do a coronal and an axial. I'm happy. take the player out. And I was like, oh, but I can do this nice sequence and you can see it. No, Fernando, I don't need that. I'm happy with it. Out. Why are you so quick with it? Because the players, if I offer a player a 10-minute MRI, he will come with me. But if he thinks about 45 minutes, like a hamstring protocol, they say, oh, you know, not today. Can we do it next week? No, I need it today. I need to take a decision. And that was the thing. I can tell nowadays that changed completely. They are doing 45 minutes.
Oh, so what changed there? What made them go?
The medical team changed.
Okay.
Okay, so going forward, a year later, we had this nice relationship. You know, the language was important because he was Spanish. I was Portuguese. So it was a really friend relationship. And a year later, he decided to purchase an X-ray machine and install it in the training ground. And the first guy that he thought to invite for that, because he needed a radiographer for that setup, he said, Fernando, I'm going to ask Fernando. And I remember so well he was saying, Fernando, I don't have all these fancy machines, this nice MRI, this CT angio, whatever. I only have a little X-ray machine. And I said, don't worry, I'll go. If I don't like it, I always can go back because there's a lot of jobs available on MRI, CT. I always easily find another job. So let's try it. And here I am, you know, 9 years.
9 years later.
10 years in September.
That's great.
Incredible.
Can I ask you one thing about when you have those players going to your MRI scanner and you were doing those sequences, what was their reaction when they see the machine? And because most of these players, the first time they see a scanner or they go through an MRI scanner is when they have an injury. And they already feel stressed about the fact that they can't play. So what is their emotional state when they actually get to you?
So if they are young or if they are a bit mature or if it's the first injury or if it is the injury number 10, it's going to be different. You understand that.
Yeah.
So a young player with no experience, he'll be nervous, very silent, very still, very... But later, I can tell you, these guys became so used to MRIs. I can give you this example. A guy would bring loads of magazines under his arm. I couldn't understand. And on the other arm, he would bring the sport newspapers. So he would lie down on the table, put the magazines on his tummy and his chest. He would go through, you know, knee MRI, whatever. Yeah. He would go through the newspaper news and he would throw them to the floor of the room, and then the magazines. And when I go inside the room in the end of the scan, what just happened here? What's going on?
Guys, if you like this type of content, consider subscribing to all our social media platforms. This is the best way to stream the Everything MRI podcast and to keep following all the educational content that we're going to post in the near future. Thank you again for following us, and I will see you around.
And so that's a football player. I was happy to keep the magazines in the end. And he would say, yeah, keep them, no problem, I don't need them back.
I think that's a funny story.
Absolutely.
It is incredible.
About this, Fernando, I want to ask, I have a curiosity. You know that January, I think, in September, there is the transfer window. You know, players might join Chelsea in this case or other football team. Do you do like a screening MRI when they come in? You double check. What body parts do you usually scan?
Okay, we have mandatory areas to scan.
Yeah.
We scan both ankles with the extended FOV to cover the foot because the fifth metatarsal is an important area to see because of
stress fracture.
Exactly. So ankles and foot.
Is this something that common? Stress fracture?
Not common, but happens.
It can happen, okay.
Yeah. And when it happens, it's a long injury, chronic situation, so we try to avoid those. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
If he has some problem, maybe we don't sign him. because we know it's going to be months
Actually, don't sign a player if you see something on those.
I would say so. I cannot comment that that happened.
Of course, yeah.
But okay. That can happen. Going up, knees for sure, bilateral knees, and just three sequence in every
three planes,
area.
Or?
Three views, sagittal, coronal, and axial in a PD facet.
Dixon or a standard? Like a Dixon sequence is like
No. As I said, just PD facet.
PD facet. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then going up, pelvis, MSK pelvis. Yep. Once again, coronal, axial, no sagittal. No need there. And lumbar spine, because stress fractures of the pars pedicular it's common in players. And
do you guys
sometimes find that
any cardiacs? Because lately we've been seeing an increase of players having cardiac issues while playing or
it's
training.
It's part of this pre-signing test to do an echocardiography and an ECG.
Got it.
Yeah.
And sometimes if things are not great, exercise test.
Okay, on the treadmill.
In the treadmill.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, makes sense.
They do bloods as well, some routine bloods. They can do some x-rays if they have history of fractures, you know, fingers, toes, tibia, whatever they have on their background, on their history of injuries.
Yeah.
We x-ray them as well. But that's it. And if there is a history of muscle injury, then we scan their hamstrings. Or the lower leg as well. So it all depends of the history, because the pre-signing medical starts with a conversation with the club doctor.
Yeah.
We go through all their history, and then we decide the extra scannings, and the mandatory ones are mandatory, even if they don't have any history of injury.
It's not you now doing the MRIs, but do you go with the patients?
I chaperone
to, you
the
chaperone
doctor.
Them?
And the players on the signings when they're required to. We did a couple of signings last season abroad, and they took me.
So you
abroad.
Went with them
I
with
went
your
with
medical
the club
team.
Doctor. So we went to Lisbon and to São Paulo, an incredible journey. So we got the plane in the evening, get there in the morning, did the medical, got the plane at 4 p.m. and got here in the other
morning.
That's
a quick journey.
Yeah, incredible. It was okay. It was business class.
Yes,
so
wow. Okay, you did. Don't
I
worry.
Cannot complain.
Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
No.
I have one more question.
I couldn't
about
expect
that,
more from Chelsea. Huh? I would be surprised if they put you in a company and say, Fernando, you stay there.
No way.
In regards to MRI again and the injuries that players have sometimes. So let's say a player has a history of injuries, but let's say Chelsea or another club decides to hire that patient anyways because it's a really good player. Do you do MRIs as a prevention tool to see, okay, this player has an incident of this injury. Let's see how the injury is going.
So
are we signing this player? Or for example, a player has an injury while already playing for you. And before he goes back to play, let's say he recovered, he feels okay. Do you do a prevention MRI just to be sure, or it's something that you don't?
Yes. Nowadays, more and more, we've been doing those. I was getting the statistic data of the number of MRIs at Chelsea Football Club and last season, because I'm going next month, we're going to present a talk about imaging in football injuries, and I need that data. And I can say we had 190 MRIs last season.
Within 1 year? One season?
I'm not talking only about first team.
Of course,
I'm talking about academy and the women team as well. But yes, 190. That's a lot of MRIs.
Quite a lot,
and part of those are, you know, the MRI straight after the injury, and then the 3 week MRI, and then the 6 week MRI, and
so
then
there's
the
a continuous follow up.
Return to play MRI.
Okay.
Yeah, we go through all the protocol.
Yeah, the reason why I ask you is because I saw a paper lately about this. The clubs are more and more using MRI before reintroducing the player to the actual training grounds. So they want to see how the injury... They assess the player as a doctor and say, okay, the player is good, they don't have any pain, but they still do the MRI just to make sure nothing's going to happen again.
And I am really involved in that because it's part of my role, part of my job to book those MRIs.
Okay.
It's my job to call the clinic. I need an MRI for this time. And sometimes they have to move around patients just to suit Chelsea. And they are very kind and the effort is incredible. I have a couple of the clinics to have a plan A and a plan B, and even a third if needed. And I go with the players as well when they go for their scans. So I go there, I see the scan, see the image before the player is taken out. So I'm sure the right area is covered, the quality of the image are
good. So actually work
good.
As a quality control as
well. Exactly. Yeah, and I can tell you, I'm not going to say it's a perfect method, but sometimes, and happened very recently, we had to go back and do a bit more.
Okay.
It's just we try our best to be perfect, but sometimes if it isn't, we just correct and do it again. And that's one of my jobs. We know the skin marker thing.
Yeah.
We use that a lot. And it's like a routine thing. As soon as I get to the facility, I need a skin marker on this
side
because I don't want them to forget about. The other day, I got a bit later than the player because they have these Ferraris and my electric car. I had to save some energy.
Fernando, this is your fault because you need to get one as well.
Anyway, I got there very, very, I would say 5 minutes later. The player was already in the scanner. There was some traffic as well. And so our colleagues, the radiographers, Fernando, come over and have a look. Oh, guys, you didn't place the skin marker. And, oh, yeah, we didn't. Okay, my friend, so take the player out, put the skin marker and get in again.
Is it so important?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Because MRI will show loads of things. And if you go through an older player, you're going to see this and that. And incidental findings, isn't it? And it's just normal. So we just want to see what's going on that moment and to have a correlation of a pain area and the findings in the image, you have to do that.
But does the pathway change? Meaning that if you find any minor incidental finding, considering that he's an elite football player, would you close an eye and just focus on the skin marker?
No.
Or would you report the whole thing?
No, I can give you another example. We were doing an ankle scan due to a recent sprain, and then we saw something, and I'm not going to say I saw it.
Yeah.
I want to give the because the colleagues scanning are really good as well, and they spot it, and what they do is, Fernando, come over.
Just
what do you think
it.
About this? So he has a very high signal on the fourth metatarsal, and I called the doctor, club doctor, and said, do you want me to do something else on this player? We find this, we are not expecting this.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, could you do some x-rays as well? Just making sure there is no stress fracture there and this and that. And that's how we do it. I was glad I was there so we could take the decision. The player went from MRI to the x-ray in the same moment, same appointment, and didn't have to come back another day.
Based on my understanding, you supervise the image quality, you supervise pretty much everything. Do you supervise also the patient experience? And now here comes my question. I have like a very minor experience of seeing elite football players, but all the places that I scan, one of the major complaints was that, oh my God, the MRI was too long. You mentioned at the beginning, some of them, especially in the past, were just thinking about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But still today, to be honest, according to my experience for them, it's still like a pain sometimes going to this. So how do you ensure, you know, their experience is nice? Do you prepare them in a way, knowing also they might have some specific requirements?
As I said, just the first time is the harsh one. After that, they know what's going on. And I can tell you, I'm amazed how some players just fell asleep. We have to wake them up. Finish. You have to go. Oh, okay. They are so tired from training or from their
active lives.
Yeah. And they just fell asleep. As soon as you lie them down, they just fell asleep. And sometimes they move themselves and not voluntarily.
Not the best collaborative players.
Exactly. We have to wrap them as much as we can because he's going to fall asleep.
Do you have any claustrophobic patients?
Loads. Loads. More than we intend to. I can tell you a few times we had to sedate them.
Oh, yes. Wow. That bad.
And I'm not talking about IV sedation.
Yeah, yeah, no,
I'm
like,
talking about, you know,
medication.
Diazepam kind of thing. And the doctor would go and stay in the room.
Inside the room, like chaperoning next to them.
Myself as well, a few times. And we try very quick sequence, like 30 seconds T1 cervical, because cervical and brain is the worst. Yeah. Claustrophobic ones, all the others should be
so hamstrings, I assume you always can feet
they,
first.
Because their head will be out and they are normally tall players, they should be fine.
Have you experienced a situation in which the patient say, no, I'm not going to go inside?
I can give you a nice example.
Please.
I'm not...
you don't need to
remember
names, but...
I remember... No, I'm going to give you a non-football example from my 20 years of MRI. I'm not scanning since COVID, just to give you some heads up. I really stopped scanning. I'm still involved in all this, but scanning as an operator of a machine, I'm not scanning for 4 years now. And anyway, I had this, in my first years of MRI, back in Portugal, I had this patient who was so difficult to convince him to go, but we managed, we put the coil, we wrap him, and I went back to the control room. There was no work list, so we had to input
everything,
his name,
by hands,
his date of birth, what we were scanning. I'm from the time we would build the sequence from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
I would input the parameters for a T1, and then from that T1 transform into a T2, and then, so imagine there was a lot of concentration there, a lot of parameters, as you can imagine. Today you select, that times were a bit different. So I was so focused on my keyboard, on my screen, and someone was knocking my door. And I just a moment, I'm trying to do a scan here, and the door will keep knocking. Sorry, don't you see I'm scanning? And the guy was on the door. I am the patient.
They got up.
You are not scanning. I am. What? He managed to get out of the tunnel of the gantry, you know, unwrapped the coil or whatever.
That happened to me as well before.
And come out and to my door and said, sorry, I cannot do it. Okay. There you are. That's a nice
I had that happening
example
to me as well on the mobile unit. It was a bit scary. Yeah.
Because
they came to that tiny window that you have on the mobiles, and I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, you don't
and
expect.
They just pulled the coils
maybe
out.
Maybe you got distracted in 1 second, you have a look at your phone, and then at that moment you see the patient is in front of you. Oh my gosh.
Going back to players, I had a player that couldn't do it, and we went for CT. So CT gave us a bit what we wanted, not as much as MRI, but it was a good option. And so you can see it sometimes happens.
Yeah, it happens, yeah. My experience, I've scanned a few football players as well and other athletes, but from my experience, it's always men that have more issues with claustrophobia.
You said this before. I'm sure we can say
because
this.
Because I keep seeing that. I'm saying from my experience. So I want to know if from your experience, because you scan... As you're saying, it's not only the first team players, female...
I don't chaperone the female
team.
Or the academy, but I have the same sense. It's not scientific.
Yeah, just from experience.
Yeah, and normally, as you said, I remember in a podcast you mentioned the guys with power.
Yeah.
With that, you know, they have to control everything around them. And... so the ones that we think, okay, this guy will not be a problem. You know,
normally
that's
the ones.
Exactly the
it's
one.
It's true.
I wonder why. I wonder what happened in our minds, to be honest, when we're inside. I don't know.
I'm going to confess something. Yeah. I am claustrophobic.
Yeah, I don't want to say me too.
it's ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, there's an entire table of claustrophobic people here.
Going back to military service, we had this night exercise, and I had my gun, my radio, my front pack, my backpack, and we are going in a sewer tunnel.
Yeah.
And it was a bit, the size wasn't great. So at some point I got stuck on it. I couldn't go forward or back. I had guys on my back, I had guys in front of me. I panic. So I end up to take the stuff away, and the guy on the back had to carry his stuff and my stuff, and was the way to continue. Yeah. But from that day, I struggle.
It can be for many reasons. Every patient had their own, you know, reasons to be claustrophobic. Yeah, but I think the real claustrophobic, they don't want even to see the scanner. Literally, they just they just step into the room and say, yeah, no, I cannot make it. I'm sorry, I don't even want to, you know, lie on the table. Anyway, going back to what we were saying, I just have a curiosity. Do you think that your, let's say, career journey that brought you then to be the radiographer supervisor at Chelsea, was that like a standalone opportunity? It will never happen anymore in the future? Or do you think for other radiographers, because we have quite a lot that are listening to this, do you think they might aspire to a similar opportunity? And if so, what would be the path?
I think people, you know, my friends, they say, oh, you are so lucky. You were on the right time at the right place. I tend not to agree. I accept the right place, right time, yes, but you really have to be a hard worker. Mm-hmm. If the doctor that was working there and seeing me practicing and he thought, you know, I would be a difficult person or with no empathy or, the availability, they could call for a pre-signing at a Saturday evening. And a lot of my colleagues would say, no, that's a no-no, sorry. And Fernando would go. And when he saw that, and the first person he thought to invite was me, because of that background. Yes, there's no a lot of clubs with an X-ray machine. I know Manchester has that.
They have their own center, actually.
I know, but it is a bit of a partnership, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you guys know if the radiographers are Manchester United employees?
No, they work for the Canon Clinic. Exactly. And then what they do is they see NHS patients as well.
There you are.
But they are on the grounds of the Man United. But so, of course, they are the Man United kind of, as you're saying, it's a partnership from what I know. But they're not Man United employees, exactly, from where I am.
So the clubs tend not to have those facilities. Why? Because they send the players externally to clinics. They have disagreements. The club doctors have this the radiologists they like to work with. So they send their players to that site. And some other club doctors are not as experienced. Our Chelsea doctor was orthopedic surgeon, and you know that orthopedic surgeon can report on X-rays.
So no, I didn't know that. No.
So dentists can report, radiologists can report, orthopedic surgeons can report on MSK X-rays, and reporting radiographers can report. So we have four. Maybe I'm missing someone. Anyway. Because we had the orthopedic surgeon, he could report on X-rays. He just needed a radiographer. And he would have no partnerships with a clinic. No, his goal was, I need this, I need to do it now, and I cannot lose any day to go somewhere, booking something, get a cab, get a doctor to go with the player. Do you know how much is, in average, a payment day of a first-team player?
I have no
so
idea.
Wages.
Pretty
a
sure,
day
yeah.
of wages in a first-team player at Chelsea. Okay, there's a few that get a bit more.
Of course. Yeah.
There's others get a bit less. But the average we calculated was 20K. That's their daily wages, okay. 20,000 pounds.
Why are we still working?
So if we miss a day of training just because of an X-ray, we are losing 20K. So before Chelsea has the X-ray machine, they stop training, they go for a shower, get a cab, go to the clinic, wait the clinic to be available to attend us, wait for the report, and probably you lost half a day just doing that.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, they have an issue on training, a stamp on the toe, whatever. They take 2 minutes to get my room. We have the X-ray, nothing broken. 95% of time says nothing broken.
Just a bruise or something.
Paracetamol, some ice, go back for training.
Nice
and we
easy.
Save 20K.
Yeah.
So after 3 days, we paid the machine. No, I shouldn't say that. Regarding the radiographer's salary, because you can calculate how much it is. But after a few more days, you get the radiographer annual salary paid.
Yeah.
And so it's a good investment, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if other clubs would think of this like that.
When we first met Fernando, I actually searched to see if I could find any other roles like that.
Okay.
And I couldn't find anything at all. Not Tottenham, not Man United, not even the lower leagues.
I'm going to be honest. I found one.
Yeah?
In the United States. And when I said radiographer, football, yeah? So American football guy is working for Dallas Cowboys for 20 years now.
Okay, maybe
he has an X-ray machine in the stadium, but it is different from football. Why? From soccer. Because there, players can go for X-ray and go back to the pitch and go back to the game.
Mm.
In football, here in the UK and Europe, if you get out of the field,
that's
you cannot come back. You've been substituted.
Yeah.
It would make even more sense for NFL or over there in the United States to have an MRI in-house because of the concussion protocol.
You know, MRI is not the first line of imaging.
For concussion, you have CT.
CT.
But even one of them, I don't think they have anything, at least I'm aware of.
You know, MRI
I might be wrong, of course.
Is not an emergent scanning thing needed. You know, muscle injuries, we do it
of course,
48 hours later, 24 hours, that depends. A knee or the only really urgent situation might be a locked knee with a displaced meniscus.
Yes. Yep.
It's in its intervention and surgery probably very quickly. But in those cases, it's a clinical presentation. We see his locked knee, cannot extend his knee. So where he goes? Hospital.
Straight
we
away,
will
yeah.
have the MRI, the surgeon,
the
everybody
lot,
available for the player.
Can I ask you something about this? Do you have any requirements in terms of magnetic field? Now, we don't have to specify the manufacturer, but do you want like a certain type of technology?
So
I don't know. They are becoming a little bit more fancy of getting machine with AI software or stuff like that. Or still, as long as the patient got an MRI, regardless of magnetic field strength.
Hi, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I'm just here to tell you about the AI and Innovations free attendance event that we have on April 15. You can check all of our socials, and on LinkedIn we have the event page where you can just sign up. Try to go into our landing page, register, and we hope to see you there soon. Thank you.
All three sites we use have three Teslas.
So always go for three Teslas.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember a time we go for a different machine.
Mm-hmm. So
at least recently, in the last 5 years.
If a patient needs cardiac MRI, you might do it with that three Tesla.
So we have this partnership with St. George Hospital, that every cardiac MRI needed is made at St. George.
Okay.
Or a Cleveland Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, I'm going to be honest, I'm not involved on that. I'm just involved on the MSK part of things.
Okay.
So if there is a need for a cardiac MR, it's all taken care of by the club doctor and the cardiologist of the club.
Do you mind if I just change gears a little bit? So we're talking about now cardiac MRI, but I know your role evolved within Chelsea FC at the moment. You do x-rays, but you also do other things there. So I know you do PRP injections. Can you go and explain succinctly what PRP injections are and why they normally might help to delay or prevent the surgery within a few weeks or months?
So when I started this job, the doctor was asking, Fernando, our nurse left 3 months ago and we know we need you, but x-ray, we might do one or two a day, maybe three or four a week, and that's it. So would you mind to be our nurse? Okay, what I need to do? So you probably have to go for phlebotomy training, for vaccine flu jabs training, for administer medication training, IM injections, and PRP, platelets, rich plasma, for the ones that don't know what that means. It was part, we had a dedicated room in the Cobham training ground where we would do those injections. And I would have to take bloods from the player. That's how it starts, the PRP. So we take four tubes of blood from the, like a blood test.
Yeah.
And then we place those four tubes in a centrifuge machine. I speed for 9 minutes, 500
rotations
per minute.
Yeah.
And that, you know what will happen. So the blood cells will separate. The heavy ones, the red cells, will stay in the bottom of the tube. And on the top, you will have the platelets and white cells. And those cells are the important cells for the healing process of any injury, isn't it? So what we were doing by injecting those specific cells into a knee, an ankle, a muscle injury, we were shortcutting the normal process of healing. You know, the blood vessels will go there to the injury site and do their job, but will take longer. So if you do PRP injections into the injury site, all that process is just much, much faster. The recovery of the player is incredible. Is things that normally in the old days would take 4 weeks, they just took 2 weeks to recover. And all of this with natural products was player's blood using on that injury. This was no medication used, no other people's bloods used. No, it's their own blood. If that was going well, perfect. His blood is good. If it wasn't going well, then we say your blood is not great. That's why the injury is not.
they might get offended
a little bit. We always, it depends of the tone, yeah.
That I might get you for a PRP injection as well, so you can tell me how it is my blood.
Indeed.
And these injections actually avoid sometime surgery, or it just delay.
It can. So if there is a nasty muscle injury. And not a complete rupture, partial rupture of a tendon or so, the PRP will go and heal back and the fibrils created around the injury, and that will avoid a surgery. And let's think about, minor meniscus injuries will heal. We even had a couple of cases of ACL injury.
I was going to ask about that, yeah.
Partial ACL rupture. That was treated only with the three injections into the joint of PRP.
And no surgery.
And probably in 2 months he was back into the pitch playing football. And if he went to the ACL surgery, at least 6 months. But nowadays we know it goes through 9 months and 1 year. So if we have a tool that we can use
to speed up the process.
Perfect. I'm going to be honest as well. We had a player that we tried the PRP, three injections, and he went back to training, had another event, and he ruptured. The partial was becoming total, and he went for surgery. But we give it the chance of PRP to do the job. If it doesn't work, you always have the surgery as a final option.
Mm-hmm.
So and so the player accepted. No, okay, we tried it, didn't went well. Let's go for surgery. And he went for surgery. No issues.
So this is a big part of your role as well. The doing the PRPs, taking bloods from the players, taking them.
Yes, and then organize the courier to take the bloods to the. To the lab, you know, urine, a lot of urine nowadays.
My question with this is, do you miss MRI? Do you miss doing the scans yourself?
I gonna be honest, I'm not missing it. As I said, I worked, going for a shift of 40 patients a day, sitting on a desk, selecting parameters. It's very exciting in the beginning, but at some point,
it
becomes a bit boring, you know. It's always the same thing. And Chelsea offers me, I never know what I'm going to do the next day. You know, I have a planned day. I know more or less we can speak about that, what is my usual day at Chelsea. But I remember I was on my car, in my electric car, and this is important for the subject, going from home to the stadium, Stamford Bridge. Halfway through, I get a call from the medical director. Fernando, where are you? Oh, I'm going to the stadium, checking the medication there. You know, expiry dates, yeah. And it's part of my job as well. And so I'm in Kingston. Oh, okay, Fernando, so you're going to do the following. You go back home, you take your Chelsea kit off, and you get your passport and go to Heathrow. And this was 10 a.m. We have a flight at 11:30 to Lisbon. Okay. So I did the reverse, you know. I wouldn't say I speed, but I was on the limit. My battery was draining. I was calling Chelsea, you guys have to get me a cab from home to go to Heathrow. No, there is strikes everywhere. There is no cabs available. You have to take your own car. You just park at Heathrow. You know, short stay, parking, go and meet the doctor there. You have to be there at 11, the latest. And that was one day. My wife wouldn't believe it. Are you sure? Yeah, I should be back tomorrow, and that's it. But so sometimes I'm sitting on my desk, you know, preparing my day, and Fernando, can you go to Wimbledon with this player? Fernando, we need an injection, steroid injection in central London. Could you get the cabs and take the player with you?
So it's more about not knowing what's going to happen there. And that gives you that thrill.
Yeah.
Don't like that. Makes sense. Some people, yeah. I need to have my list of patients, my...
Yeah, and they like the routine, maybe. Yeah, exactly. Instead, you like a little bit more challenges. I have to say, there are a lot of challenges in the MRI daily job as well, to be honest as well. I agree with what you say. It can be very methodical. It can be the same, changing parameters. But I think there are a lot of things that makes it quite vibrant and dynamic as well.
Great. So I think we're reaching our end of the podcast. We normally ask you a question to all the guests, which is why MRI for you? At the beginning of your career, why did you decide to go to MRI? What was your passion about it when you actually started?
So, this answer might sound a bit too obvious, but I, in my head, in the old days, you know, ages, medieval ages, to see inside the body, you have to cut it off. Yeah, you have to.
Slice
to
it
go
up.
In. And now we have this great tool where we can see inside without cutting people. Yeah, we do the slices, virtual slices, and we diagnose pathology without even with no pain involved, and this is amazing. This is amazing. Imagine telling that to, 100 years ago, people
Absolutely.
Would freak out, oh, you are mad. No, this can happen. And with the X-ray and later the MRI and all this resolution, you know, it's the best in the market so far. Probably there's something else to come over. And I would say the second thing about that probably is a bit too obvious as well. I think we are the front line workers in terms of we are the first ones to see that lesion,
to see the
on
problem.
That screen. The player still inside is probably freaking out about it. He doesn't know what's going on. The doctor left at the club is anxious about it. And you are the one who just saw it. You probably don't know what's going on. You know, the specific pathology, that's not your job. But at least you can see, oh, this guy is in trouble. Or, oh, I'm glad it's nothing going to play this weekend. So we are the first guys. Even before then, the radiologists, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Which is also exciting.
Yeah. Exactly. And that amazes me. That wonderful. We feel even more privileged. Yeah.
We I think are that's a great answer.
And I cannot be happy when I'm scanning a kid and suddenly we see a brain tumor, of course, but we're still the ones to see it first. Yeah. And we kind of have to prepare and imagine in our heads what is going to happen.
What you're going to say as well.
Will be the outcome.
Exactly.
Perfect. Fernando, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
It was
a pleasure.
Very welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. It was our pleasure.